Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to see you all here this evening. And it's great to see some visitors as well. And I'm particularly pleased to see my own son here this evening. He's travelled down from Scotland, from Elgin, the frozen north, as we might say, except, of course, it's actually much nicer up there than it is down here. But there we are. Thinking about this evening, I was thinking back, some 30 years or so, and I used to preach at a tiny little church, which sadly is closed now, at Brockhampton, up in the Cotswolds. And our son used to come with us sometimes. And he, like I, have a wicked sense of humour. It was a very small congregation there. Around about six people used to be there. But there was a lady who used to play the harmonium. Do you remember those harmoniums? Pedaling away on there. Keys clattering away, and she was almost blind, but she used to drive, and that was frightening. But the thing was that when she was playing, she would la 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 away to the tune, whatever it was. She didn't sing, and I used to catch my son's eye when I was out the front there, and it was all I could do not to burst out laughing, which he was wont to do. This evening I want to talk a little bit about talking with my father. Talking with my father. I hope that most of you have good, vivid memories of your fathers. Some of you may be fortunate enough still to have your fathers with you. Some are here tonight, and that's great. Sadly, my father died when I was 10, so my memories of him are somewhat hazy. It was a time just before he died of great heights and great depths after he died. The heights were the fact that I just passed my 11 plus, and the depths that just having been told I'd passed, he died. So you can understand the terrible contrasts, if you like, went through our minds in that house. What's this all got to do with this evening's passage? This evening we're talking about talking with my father in the light of grace. Now, when you talk to your own father, there may or may not be very much grace in it. But when you talk to the Father in heaven, it is because he is prepared to listen to you. He is way, way above us. He is so much more. He has created everything. Everything we see, the whole of the universe is created by him. And yet he is prepared to listen to us. And that's only by his grace that he is prepared to listen to us. It's only by grace that we are able to speak to him. We are all undeserving sinners. Now, sinners is one of those words which seems to have fallen out of fashion, isn't it? If you like, it's because we do wrong. Those who maybe are not very familiar with the Christian faith will say, well, what's a sin? What's a sin? Well, it's doing wrong, if you want to be simple, to look at it simply. But because we have confessed those sins by his grace, we can go and speak to him. It's very different with our own fathers, unless we're very unfortunate. We have always had the opportunity to go and talk to them, to discuss things, to bring our problems to our fathers, our worries, the things that concern us. Particularly when children are little, they need that confidence that a father or mother brings to them. Our Heavenly Father is always prepared to listen when we approach him in humility. And that's the thrust of Jesus' parable that we're looking at this evening. So, are we a Pharisee or a tax collector? Well, let's look at it. What Jesus says in this parable. Firstly, thinking about the Pharisees, they were conceited and they had a very high regard for their own goodness. They thought themselves as holy as they possibly could be. And of course, far more holy than anybody else around them. They felt that they were shining examples to everybody around. Secondly, they had this supreme confidence in themselves before God. Not only did they have a high opinion of themselves, of their own righteousness, but they relied on it whenever they addressed God. They thought that he owed it to them to answer their demands and that they might demand anything from him. Thirdly, they despised others and looked upon them with contempt. Through this parable, Jesus shows us that the attitude of the Pharisees is really contemptible, isn't it? And sheer folly as he contrasts their behaviour with the humility of the tax collector. It contrasts the different attitude and language of those that proudly justify themselves with those who humbly deprecate themselves. It exposes their different standing before God. But sadly, isn't that something we come across ourselves almost every day? This parable is rich with spiritual truth. It contains the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's have a look at this parable in more detail. We see that the Pharisee is speaking publicly, and yet the tax collector is speaking almost privately. Now, both public and private prayers were allowed in the temple, and these verses show examples of both. Jesus spoke this parable to those who, as Jesus says in verse 9, were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Jesus often spoke of the issue of righteousness, pleading with his hearers to understand their utter inability to attain righteousness and to attain the kingdom of heaven through their own efforts. This knowledge was essential if they were to understand his mission on earth. And we see as we read through the Gospels, he time and again repeats these stories in different ways, different parables, to get this same truth across. The Pharisee in the story is the epitome of one who is self-justifying, self-important, pompous, if you like, in our current language. The prayer of the Pharisee shows no humility at all. It has no elements of confession. He doesn't ask for forgiveness for his sins. He thinks that because he believes he has nothing to confess, he can talk straight to God and know that God will answer his prayers. Even the thanks he does offer is designed to exalt himself and to place him above all others. He might as well have been staying at home, because such a prayer, although was heard by all around him, was not heard by God. God does not listen to those prayers that are not offered in humility. I find this passage very challenging, and I hope you do too, because sometimes we get a little bit too big for our boots, don't we? And we think that everything we do and say is bound to be right, because we have this knowledge, this authority behind us. But God cuts us down to size. He sees us as we are. He can see what's inside. He knows what's there. Unlike the Pharisee, who is standing boldly in the temple and reciting his prayers of self-congratulation, we hear that the tax collector stood at a distance. Maybe that was in an outer room, but certainly he was far away from the Pharisee. The Pharisee would have been offended anyway if the tax collector had been anywhere near him. Tax collectors, of course, were loathed because of their association with the Romans. And the Romans were seen as being something of hatred. And the tax collectors were hated and seen as traitors to Israel. And they were loathed and treated as outcasts. So again, this parable, when Jesus was telling it, must have thought, this is really weird. He's saying that a tax collector is all right, that a tax collector can come to God. So it's really making people stand up and think about themselves, what they're doing. The man's posture spoke of his unworthiness before God, unable to even lift his eyes to heaven. He realized that he was guilty of sin. The burden of his guilt and shame weighed heavily upon him, and the load he carried had become unbearable. And he was overcome by these transgressions, and he beat his breast, which was what they did in those days, to show how sorry they were. They were wanting to repent, and he appealed to God for mercy. The prayer he speaks is the very one God is waiting to hear, and his attitude is exactly the one that God wants from all who come to him. The tax collector exhibits precisely what Jesus spoke about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus again is underlining those words he spoke earlier. He is underlining them. Even the disciples who were with him never really understood him until it was almost too late. They heard what he said, but it didn't go in. It bounced off them. Being poor in spirit means admitting that we have nothing to offer God to atone for our sin. And the tax collector recognizes his sinful condition and seeks the only thing that can bridge the gap between himself and God. He shouts out, "Have mercy on me." We know from the end of the parable that God heard his prayer for mercy and answered it. Jesus says in verse 14, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God." The tax collector went away justified, in other words, made righteous, because he had humbled himself before God, confessing that no amount of works could save him from his sin, and that only God's mercy could. And it's true, isn't it? If we're truly sorry for our sins, we can be assured of God's boundless love and forgiveness in Christ. He has promised in his word to accept us, to love us, and make us alive again through his Son. In Colossians chapter 2, in verses 13 and 14, Paul writes, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross." It sometimes comes as a bit of a surprise that no amount of good works or church attendance or tithes or community service or loving your neighbour or anything else that we do is sufficient to take away the scar of sin and enable us to stand before a holy God on our own. And that is why Jesus was sent by God to die on the cross. His death is the only work that is able to cleanse us and make us acceptable to God. Also, we shouldn't make the mistake of comparing ourselves with others and gaining confidence from what we see in that comparison. In fact, Jesus specifically warns us against this attitude at the beginning of this parable. He was only too aware that people get pumped up with their own importance and think that what they do and what they say and what their standing is in society is the be-all and end-all. When we try to justify ourselves by comparing ourselves to others, we naturally end up despising them, looking down on others. I'm sure you've all seen that sketch that was done by John Cleese and the two Ronnies. And I look up to him, I look down on him. It's the kind of thing that almost seems to automatically happen when people get in some position of control. Our standard for comparison is God himself. And we all fall short of his glory, as Paul says in Romans 3. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Jesus ends the parable by comparing the attitude of the Pharisees with that of the tax collector. "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. There's a journey, isn't there, that we all have to make, a pilgrimage we're all called to undertake, and that's that journey from pride to humility. It's sometimes a very painful journey. We're frequently taught to stand on our own two feet and be proud of our achievements. And of course, there's nothing intrinsically wrong in that. There are many admirable things in many ways, but there is a risk that the pride will become overpowering in our lives and make us feel that we're always right and better than others. That is the journey or the pilgrimage that the Pharisee in tonight's extract from Luke's Gospel needs to make. His statement in these verses shows that he is in need of a spiritual journey. The Pharisee's view of himself is full of pride, as we can read in verse 11. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. You can imagine him saying it, can't you? Sneering. But he needs to change his attitude to be like that of the tax collector in verse 13. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's very easy for the Pharisee to fall into the temptation of thinking that he was better, because in worldly terms, he probably was quite a good chap. He fasted twice a week, whereas the Jewish law only required him to fast once a year. He paid tithes, giving away 10% of all his income, whereas Jewish law only required one to tithe 10% of grain of firstborn of the flock. Although the Pharisee was probably a good man, he lacked compassion. He lacked compassion for others because he had not experienced problems himself. He didn't have a cross to carry. He didn't have sensitivity to others who were suffering. Nothing helps us to mature more than suffering does. He had never fallen in life, so he was proud. And as the old saying says, pride comes before a fall. And often a fall is what it takes for someone to lose their pride and realize they're human, the same as everybody else. When it comes to sin and grace, we're all in the same playing field, and it's a level one. None of us deserves or earns heaven. It's a gift from God, won for us by Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection. Sometimes in our daily lives, and particularly when we work in specific types of work, we have to work by the book. And sometimes we have little choice in that in our daily lives. But the Pharisee did this in leading his so-called religious life. Everything was done by the book. His experience of the real world was limited, and his attitudes reflected this. There was a story I read that I believe illustrates this quite well. It relates to a funeral custom of the former Austrian royal family, and it goes something like this. In Vienna, in Austria, there is a church in which the former ruling family in Austria, the Habsburgs, are buried. When royal funerals used to arrive, the mourners knocked at the door of the church to be allowed in. A priest inside will call out, "Who is it that desires admission here?" A guard would call out, "His Apostolic Majesty, the Emperor." The priest would answer, "I don't know him." They would knock a second time, and again the priest would ask who was there. The funeral guard outside would announce, "The Highest Emperor." A second time, the priest would say, "I don't know him." A third time, they would knock on the door, and the priest would ask, "Who is it?" The third time, the answer would be, "A poor sinner, your brother." It's interesting to see the progression in the questions and the answers of the former Austrian royal family in a journey from pride to humility. We see this humility in the stance of the tax collector in Jesus' parable today, in stark contrast to the pride and arrogance of the Pharisee. There's some of the pride of the Pharisee and some of the humility of the tax collector in each one of us, even though we may not like to accept that. Each of us, to a greater or lesser degree, is called by Jesus in today's gospel to make that journey from pride to humility. In a sense, the Pharisee thought he was God, but there's only room in any person's life for one God. So if you're God, God in heaven loses out. That's why in this parable, the humble tax collector who asked God for mercy went home in a good place with God, and the proud Pharisee did not. It's a sad truth that if we're not sensitive to the tax collector, if we're not sensitive to other people, we're not very sensitive to God either. Sometimes we're not sensitive in our daily lives, are we? We ignore people. We bump into people and don't say sorry. We don't give up a seat on the bus. These are sensitive things. No, okay, perhaps today it's not fashionable to give up your seat on a bus. But it's being sensitive to other people. It's humility, in a sense. The Pharisee wasn't sensitive to the tax collector and was not sensitive to God. The tax collector was sensitive to his own failings and weaknesses and was also sensitive to God. Sensitivity to other people and sensitivity to God are almost always hand in hand. I read a passage from a book called Guidelines for Mystical Prayer. It was written by a nun called Ruth Burroughs, not ours, I don't think. It reads, "The proud cannot bring themselves to hold out empty hands to God. They insist on offering virtues, good works, self-denials, anything in order not to have nothing. They want to be beautiful for him from their own resources, whereas we are beautiful only because God looks on us and makes us beautiful. God cannot give himself to us unless our hands are empty to receive him. The deepest reason why so few of us are saints is because we will not let God love us." Those members of that royal Habsburg family in Austria were only allowed into the church for burial once they had admitted that their deceased was a poor sinner. This may, of course, only been an apocryphal story, but it's a salutary reminder to us. We too are called upon to make the journey from saying like the Pharisee in Luke 18:11, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." We need to arrive at the point when we can say like the tax collector, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." If we experience suffering or a cross in life, it's easier for us to make that journey from pride to humility. So all of us have to work hard at it, I think. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this parable that Jesus told to his disciples, and we thank you for the shock that was felt by all around who heard it. Those who regarded the Pharisees as the be-all and end-all, and those who looked down upon the tax collector. But the reverse was true, that the Pharisee was proud and had little chance of being heard by God, but the tax collector was humble and came before his God with humility. We pray, Father, that you will help us as we go into this coming week, that we would try to lead a more humble life and to be much more open to each other, and most definitely more open to you, for we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.